We mentioned a lot about the sovereignty of God and about how it was about the good pleasure of His will, how since it was from since eternity past that He chose us. Yet in God's sovereignty, He's still holy and righteous, and so He couldn't look upon our sin. And we talk about Roman, we talked about how we were still in that condition. And it ties into verse 7 as well as in verse 8. Forgiveness of the sins and the redemption, they're intimately linked. You can't forgive the sins without, sorry, you can't redeem the sins without the desire for redemption, for forgiveness. Okay. That was, when you see in Hebrews 9, that was a cost that had to be paid. Pretty much that we needed to be redeemed from our sins, and that had to be done through His goodwill, and His goodwill called for our forgiveness. And that's the only way that we can enter into these heavenly places is by being seen as holy. And again, the only way that we can be seen as holy is if that cost was paid.
I was just thinking about what Brother Tony was saying, and I realized this book, Ephesians, is just full of ways. It's just full of ways that God has demonstrated His love for us. So it talks about how, like, He redeemed us. He gives us spiritual wisdom, life. He shows us mercy. He brought us near to Him. He's our peace, and He's our cornerstone. And that's just the first two chapters, and we'll see this stuff all through the week. And I think it's also a little bit of a challenge. How are we demonstrating our love toward God?
Is there another comment?
In looking at this thought of being holy and blameless before Him, and what a standard that is for us, and we think, you know, we fall short in this. You don't have to look far in my life to say, you know what, you're not holy, you're not blameless. But that's Satan reminding us and trying to bring us down. And don't let him do that. When you feel that struggle, look at the words that we have here in verse 7. In Him we have redemption. We have this. This is ours to take. As Brother Chuck mentioned earlier, this epistle is written to the saints, who are saints. They're forgiven sinners. And we don't have to look far in the book of Psalms to see the great blessings that King David ascribes in Psalm 32, I believe it says verse 1, how blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. And that's they are forgiven. It's not maybe, they might be, they could be, you know, maybe tomorrow or they are today and not tomorrow or any of that sort of thing. We have these things. And as we read through this book, look for those things, because these are the portions that are for us. We have them, and you will see that phrase mentioned over and over again. These are ours.
I want to follow up on that, because I think that we really get into difficulty when we mix up what we have positionally in Christ with practice here on this earth. Now, practice is going to come in, young people, in this book in chapter 4. We're on the doctrinal side right now. We're looking at the verse that you've taken us back to. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let me tell you, I can't be before Him in any other way. This is positional. This is mine in Christ Jesus. Nothing can touch this. What I want to do here on earth is live by that standard. That is the standard. That's going to happen in a day to come. Now, I want to see that effectively true in my life now. Let's go to another comment that we had on redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. In this book, God begins the work. You're going to come to that in chapter 2. Man doesn't begin this book. It begin this work. God begins this book. We were dead in trespasses and sins. What can a dead man do? He can't do anything. If there's going to be anything that's going to happen that is going to bring a man into favor with God in this book, that work is going to be done by God Himself to begin with. We'll get into that in chapter 2. the redemption, as you've said, can only be by one means. It is the only verse in the first whole section where the cross is set before me. And if there is redemption, it is through his blood. Forgiveness of sins, in a certain way, is a negative thing. Sins are bad. They're negative. They're gone. They're gone completely. And I've been accepted in the Beloved. What a wonderful place. So if we can kind of keep those things, we're looking at our position in chapters 1 and 2 especially.
So we heard about position and practical things. And I just, again, I'm going to underline that for you so you could write them down and think of what was said already. There are facts that are there. If you know them or not, they are there. If you are enjoying them or not, they are there. And what we have in these verses, in the first 7-8 verses, they are facts. There is a fact that God is your Father. That's a fact. If you feel it, if you know it, if you don't, it's a fact. The second fact is that he loves you so much. That's a fact. If you know it or if you don't, he loves you. Number 3, he have chosen you before you even existed. He have chosen you. That's a fact. These are facts. That's the doctrinal part. It's a fact. Knowing that will help you in practice. What other fact? In verse 5, you are adopted. You are a son of God. Now, sisters, you too are sons of God. You are adopted. Now, keep that in mind. He's your father. He loves you. He have chosen you before the world began. You are his son. Brother Tony made a comment, and I want you to write that. All of these things are in Christ Jesus. So write it down. They are not in you. They are in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, I want you tonight, when you read chapter 1, to count for me how many times in him or in Christ Jesus are mentioned in chapter 1. That's a homework. How many times in him or in Christ Jesus are mentioned in chapter 1? So those are facts now. We are stating the facts. Don't run to the practical things yet. We will get to that. Those are facts. The other fact is, for God to do that, that's why we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Brother Chuck spoke about the cross. That's how God accomplishes his purpose. It's through that. How he's going to adopt you. How he's going to put you in the heavenly places. How he's going to put you in Christ Jesus. He have to redeem you. To break those bonds. To buy you back. To forgive your sins. That's what he have done there. And all of these facts, God have done them for the pleasure of his will. That's just out of the goodness of his heart. It's not what you need. He just loves you so much that he said, come on, I am just... Imagine that. Sorry, I'm going to take one more minute. Imagine that. Who is the wealthiest man in the world? Warren Buffett? He said, listen, Jesse, because he's sitting in front of me. Jesse, I'm going to tell you. You come in, and I'm going to take care of everything you need. I'm going to take care of your food. I'm going to take care of your schooling. I'm going to take care of your car. I'm going to take care of your health insurance. I'm going to take care of everything. You would say, oh, thank you very much, Mr. Buffett. That's great. But he say, no. That will do for you. I'm going to do something even greater than that. Come and live in my house in Omaha, where he lives. And everything that I have is yours. You are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything I have is yours. Now you say to yourself, no, I don't want any of that. I'm just going to go back and live and wear rags and just live, you know, nothing. I don't want any of that. But it's yours. You could come and enjoy it. Those are facts. If you enjoy them, they are there. If you don't enjoy them, they're there. But it will be really foolish if we don't take advantage of the fact that we have that. You know why people always are depressed and having a hard time with life? Because they think they are worthless in themselves. And they are. But when I think, what am I in Christ? I will feel loved. Even if nobody looked at me the second time. I will feel very secure. Because I am in Christ Jesus. In the heavenly places. And there is no created power could take me out of there. Because God have put me there. So it's up to you. You are very wealthy. You are very loved. You are very secure. And I don't care how you feel or what anybody else tells you. You need to turn the Wi-Fi on. You need to be linked with there and connected with there so you could enjoy what God have you. Those are the facts that we have. Stay with that. It is not, don't run to the practical things, what I do, I need to do in my life. We'll get to that. You're going to hear enough of that. But right now, take in the facts, the truth, the position, the doctrinal part that we have before us.